concentrated on their smoking to fill the silence. Again, the lieutenant began digging at the ground with his boot. He drew a kind of diagram in the earth, then rubbed it out. Finally, he asked the vet, "Where are you born?"
"In Kanagawa," the doctor said, "in a town called Ofuna, near the sea."
The lieutenant nodded.
"And where were you born?"
the vet asked. Instead of answering, the lieutenant narrowed his eyes and watched the smoke rising from between his fingers. No, it never pays to ask a military man questions, the vet told himself again. They like to ask questions, but they'll never give you an answer. They wouldn't give you the time of day. Literally. "There's a movie studio there," said the lieutenant. It took the doctor a few seconds to realize the lieutenant was talking about Ofuna.
"That's right, a big studio. I've never been inside, though."
The lieutenant dropped what was left of his cigarette on the ground and crushed it out. "I hope you make it back there," he said. "Of course, there's an ocean to cross between here and Japan. We'll probably all die over here." He kept his eyes on the ground as he spoke. "Tell me, doctor, are you afraid of death?"
"I guess it depends on how you die," said the vet after a moment's thought.
The lieutenant raised his eyes and looked at the vet as if his curiosity had been aroused. He had apparently been expecting another answer. "You're right," he said. "It does depend on how you die." The two remained silent for a time. The lieutenant looked as if he might fall asleep right there, standing up. He was obviously exhausted. A large grasshopper flew over them like a bird and disappeared into a distant clump of grass with a noisy beating of wings. The lieutenant looked at his watch. "Time to get started," he said to no one in particular. Then he spoke to the vet. "I'd like you to stay around for a while. I might have to ask you to do me a favor." The vet nodded. The soldiers led the Chinese prisoners to the opening in the woods and untied their hands. The corporal drew a large circle on the ground using a baseball bat, though why a soldier would have a bat was a mystery to the vet, and ordered the prisoners in Japanese to dig a deep hole the size of the circle. With the picks and shovels, the four men in baseball uniform started digging in silence. Half the squad stood guard over them while the other half stretched out beneath the trees. They seemed to be in desperate need of sleep. No sooner had they hit the ground in full gear than they began snoring. The four soldiers who remained awake kept watch over the digging nearby, rifles resting on their hips, bayonets fixed, ready for immediate use. The lieutenant and the corporal took turns overseeing the work and napping under the trees. It took less than an hour for the four Chinese prisoners to dig a hole some 12 feet across and deep enough to come up to their necks. One of the men asked for water, speaking in Japanese. The lieutenant nodded, and a soldier brought a bucket full of water. The four Chinese took turns ladling water from the bucket and gulping it down. They drank almost the entire bucketful. Their uniforms were smeared black with blood, mud, and sweat. The lieutenant ordered two of the soldiers to pull the wagon over to the hole. The corporal yanked the tarpaulin off to reveal four dead men piled in the wagon. They wore the same baseball uniforms as the prisoners, and they too were obviously Chinese. They appeared to have been shot, and their uniforms were covered with black bloodstains. Large flies were beginning to swarm over the corpses. Judging from how dry the blood was, the doctor guessed they had been dead for close to 24 hours. The lieutenant ordered the four Chinese who had dug the hole to throw the bodies into it. Without a word, faces blank, the men took the bodies out of the wagon and threw them one at a time into the hole. Each corpse landed with a dull thud. The numbers on the dead men's uniforms were 2, 5, 6, and 8. The vet committed them to memory. When the four Chinese had finished throwing the bodies into the hole, the soldiers tied each man to a nearby tree. The lieutenant held up his wrist and studied his watch with a grim expression. Then he looked up towards a spot in the sky for a while, as if searching for something there. He looked like a station master standing on the platform waiting for a hopelessly overdue train. But in fact, he was looking at nothing at all. He was just allowing a certain amount of time.